in Eureka Springs, and it's spring according to the calendar, but it's a little cool today, Phyllis Galdi.
Hey, this is colder than it is in Minneapolis. I mean, we're, you know, several hundred miles farther north, and it's in the 50s, and it's in the 40s, damn near, excuse my French, freezing here Eureka Springs. And, I mean, this is even cold for my blood. It's my birthday tomorrow. It's the middle of April. This should not be happening.
So you probably get a lot of birthday presents. People don't forget it because it's close to income tax day.
It is income tax day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody hates my birthday.
And my daughter, Lori, was born on April 15th.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's neat.
So anyway, we have something in common.
Okay.
And another thing we have in common is I'm a big fan of Fate Magazine, and you are too because you bought the thing.
Right. Me and the bank.
Yeah.
Yep. It's been
so
a labor of love.
How's it going since you've had it now for several years?
Well, it's been a labor of love. It's certainly not, I don't have any new Cadillac. I got a Chevy. I drive a Chevy and a Dodge. But in all seriousness, we love the magazine, and we receive so much positive feedback and support from our subscribers because it's like the only thing. They give up all their other subscriptions, but they keep their Fate magazine because it's kind of like their food for their soul.
You know, if people are not familiar with Fate magazine, they need to go over to your website because you put a lot of things on that website.
Yes, we do.
And that ought to whet their appetite for sure. And you have Galdi Press, in which you publish well-known authors. Our good friend Larry B. Bryant, you published
yes,
some of his things.
A couple of books.
And we had a guest today, Mr. Jules.
Joe Lules.
Yeah.
Yes, he is just a fascinating person. We love Joe. He published Rulers of the
Earth. The reason I called him Mr. Jules is because he told me, he says, just like Jules, only his Lules.
There you go.
And his first name's Joe, so
yep,
I just
yep. He's
took
pretty,
a shortcut.
Yep, he's pretty sneaky that way. But he said a lot of metaphysical, paranormal experiences.
And that book just came out
3 days ago.
And you've already sold out all the ones you brought here.
Exactly. Yep. They went like hotcakes. It's very controversial, very far out stories about his past life experiences with dealing with Jesus and religion and UFOs and the paranormal, and he ties it all together in a really fascinating experience.
And I believe it's called Rulers of the Earth.
That is correct. Yep. Rulers of the Earth.
What else do you have going on these days? I don't know whether I'm supposed to mention this, but Paul Davids tells me that the TV series is going right along, isn't it?
It's imminent, yep. I mean, we're crossing our fingers. It could be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we will have a contract with a production company dealing with Fate
been decided exactly how it's going to be? Or is it going to be
kind of sort of like a Twilight Zone type of thing? Yes. So it's pretty much.
Are you going to explore? Is it going to be dramatized, or is it going to be more like reality TV?
Dramatized segments of things that have actually happened on TV. We don't think it'll be like real sensationalized like the reality shows because they're like kind of phony, kind of way far out. And Fate deserves a little more respect and integrity because that's really what Fate's been about for the last 60 years.
And you'll be making a big announcement about that here pretty soon. Then.
Yes, we will. As soon as we get the final dotting the I's and crossing the T's on the contract, there will be a press release, probably in the Hollywood Gazette or whatever it is out there. That's
Hollywood Reporter.
Okay, that's it. Yep, yeah.
And Daily Gazette. No, it's Daily Variety. But anyway.
Whatever. Yep. We're gearing up for that.
So Phyllis Galdi will probably be zipping out to Hollywood occasionally.
Every once in a while, probably up to Vancouver because it's, you
yeah,
remember the X-Files?
Right.
Yeah, the X-Files, that's where they film a lot of those kinds of shows
sure
up
do.
There.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's closer to Minneapolis. So.
Yes, it is. That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. We see you at these conferences every once in a while. You don't make all of them, but you make a lot of them.
Yes, I do. And it isn't just the UFO conferences. This winter, I was at Monster Mania conferences, Chiller Theater out in the East Coast, which are like, you know, the goths, the monster shows, horror flicks. We went to a lot of those, and it was a really fun experience because it's a whole new audience for us. We go to UFO conferences. We go to ghost conferences, metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal. So we kind of try to hit up.
And your magazine has quite a variety of all of those genres.
Exactly. Fate covers all things. You know, UFOs, Bigfoots, ghosts, angels, life after death, and I think that's part of the appeal of Fate because we try to cover all aspects.
And you're doing a good job. Did it turn out anything like you thought it would before you got involved in this magazine, or did you already work there?
I had already worked for Fate on and off since 89, and then in 94, I quit and started my own publishing company, and then I came back in 99 and worked for the other publisher and then bought it in 2001. But heck no, it's been a lot more work and a lot less money than I thought it would be, but it's really fun.
Gee, that sounds like my enterprises.
Yeah, but it's been fun. It's been a labor of love, and I can't imagine doing anything else.
Well, it's exactly like my enterprises. It's fun, too.
Exactly. Yeah, and if you can't have fun, what's the point?
Yeah, well,
all the money in the world, you know, if you're a multimillionaire, if you hate what you're doing, it just doesn't feed your soul.
You and I talked at one time about whether or not you'd had any ghostly experiences, and I think you told me about you might have lived in a haunted house or something.
Yes, I grew up in a haunted house in North Dakota and have had just a real series of ghostly experiences ever since I was some small child. Since I was 5 years old, I saw this being in my bedroom, and I came.
Was it like some translucent being, or just
It was always standing in the doorway. I had this really small bedroom off the living room, and
it was a real person. Yeah.
Yes, and always in the living or in the doorway to the living room. The image would always be there. It was like in the movie Ghost, and it was a human form, and it was translucent, and it was like outlined in like a ghostly white light. I was scared to death because I thought it was going to come in and kill me. I was like 5 years old, my earliest recollections. I was really, really scared. I just, you know, I really thought this thing was going to come through the doorway, and I would cover up my head, and or else I would jump out of bed and go run into the other room and jump in bed with my parents. But then when I was 25 years old, my mother informed me that my grandfather died in that room. Like, duh. If they would have told me that when I was small, I wouldn't have been so scared. Because
I
think family ghosts...
I wouldn't have went into the room.
Yeah, well, you know, family ghosts are okay, but you worry about some evil thing going to hurt you. But I really believe it was my grandfather there, and he was just there to watch over me and check on me and make sure I was okay.
Now as an editor of Fate, you get a lot of stories that I imagine are presented to you, and then you assign things as well. Are most of your ghost stories, are they friendly ghosts, or are they evil?
I'd say probably 80%
are kind of based on real life.
Right. I think most of them are friendly ghosts. The whole heart of the magazine is My Proof of Survival and True Mystic Experiences, people's personal experiences where a loved one has passed on, and they'll show up and warn them of a, you know, where some lost money is in some alcove in the attic, or warn them of danger, or just reappear to comfort them, like, yeah, hey, I'm okay, life is good on the other side, you don't have to worry about me. So most of them are really comforting stories, and there's a few that are like fearsome and scary, and some negative entity appears, but, you know, 80%, I say, are positive experiences of ghosts. But over and over, thousands and thousands of stories that people report to us are really have similar themes.
Well, I know you still go on some of the, as you mentioned earlier, you go to some of these conventions and things and meetings, but you were here one time, I think you went out to a haunted house or something.
Yes.
And so you're still very interested in this subject.
Definitely.
I mean, Eureka Springs is full of haunted places.
Oh, yeah. Eureka Springs is a wonderful, special, magical city. The Crescent Hotel is filled with ghosts up there. There's been some really fascinating things happen there. There's a haunted cemetery. There's a Confederate battlefield or Pea Ridge, a national monument out there. People have seen images walking out there. In fact, tomorrow I plan to go out there and see what kind of things that we can feel out there.
And when you talk about those Civil War cemeteries, it's not necessarily at night that you see the ghost.
Not necessarily. No, you can feel the energy there all the time. If there's so much sadness and death and destruction on them, and I've always said, you know, why do people pay so much attention and put so much energy into reliving all these terrible negative energies? I think they should try to heal the earth. And maybe it's too powerful, the negative energy, but I think Civil War battlefields should be a focus of positive healing energy. Every time people walk there, they should put healing energy into the earth to stop some of that real sadness and trauma there.
It sounds like Phyllis Galdi, publisher of Fate Magazine, believes that we can use our own presence and vibes and radiated personalities, or whatever you want to call it, our charisma, or whatever, our thought processes to affect maybe the supernatural. We'll follow that up when we come right back. Find out about her philosophy, really, about ghosts and supernatural things. And also, we'll ask her about UFOs, because this is a UFO conference. This conference has been going on a long time, Phyllis, 15
years, yes, and it's gotten bigger every year. It's a wonderful, it's one of my favorite conferences.
We'll be right back. I'm Jerry Pippin. We have Phyllis Galdi with us.
Major sighting here
on the 13th of March. Weird happenings in the skies over Phoenix region. And no one seems to be able to explain what it was. And now,
suddenly six amber orbs in a row, totally equidistant from each other, massive span across, pop up.
People say they saw strange lights.
There is a strange bright light seen over the skies of Arizona. It gets a lot of people wondering.
There are another 10,000 Arizonans who saw the same thing.
Eyewitnesses who saw it say it's like nothing they've ever seen before.
Last night, shortly after 8 p.m., hundreds, maybe thousands of Arizonans reported seeing a triangular-shaped object with three to
thousands of people saw more than stars in the night sky.
The mystery remains unsolved and controversial.
It was nothing to see.
Winning documentary by Dr. Lynn Kutar. The Phoenix Lights is now available from ShopJerryPippin.com. Order now. Supplies limited. I'm Jerry Pippin, and we are at the end of the Ozarks. I don't think this place is haunted, but it might be. Have you heard any stories, Phyllis Galdi, about that?
No, I felt really comfortable. I mean, if there are any energies, I think it's Native American, and I think it's pretty comfortable. I mean, I feel really peaceful whenever I come here and stay here, so I don't think the grounds are bad at all.
One of my favorite writers, Rosemary Guiley, works with you quite a lot.
Yes.
And you guys went out to the Queen Mary. I remember I haven't talked to her since she went out there, so now I'm going to find out what happened. You were there.
Yes, we went out there for a ghost conference. I guess it was in March. And the Queen Mary is stationed, or it's dry docked in Long Beach, California. It's one of the most haunted ships in the world. Many, many psychics have professed that. They say there's something like over 600 ghosts there. So we spent three nights on there. I'll never stay there again. I'm pretty sensitive to ghosts, but it was just incredible. You walk on the ship, and it's like you walk into a time warp. It's like you see people from the 40s dancing around in their ballroom gowns, because it was the rich people. That was a luxury liner where they would go over to Europe to party and play. And then in World War II, they used it for a troop transport ship. And there's just many, many things that happen. There's murders, rapes, prisoners of wars that were murdered. I mean, just natural deaths. And interestingly enough, the surprise, surprise, the people that own the ship downplayed and denied a lot of the deaths and the unfortunate accidents and murders that happened on the ship. So no one really knew about them, but you step on the boat and it's like you're transported into a time warp. And I don't think it matters that it's there at Long Beach. I think it is the ship itself, the machinery, the metal, it's all stored within the vibrations are just bouncing back and forth like a radar of all the ghosts. It's absolutely incredible. Toilets flush, people are walking around, lights turn on, off and on, and you can see people in the corridors. It's just incredible.
When we talk about these things, why are some places haunted and others aren't? Or do you have a theory about that?
Well, I think probably it's the metal of the ship. It's the energy that's stored there, and there's so many people that used that ship in the, what is it, 40 years or so that. Uh-huh. It's something like that it was used. It was just a tremendous amount of people that were carried back and forth across the ocean, and so much happened. It was a real intense period of time. But
you know, we talked before we went to the break, before we came back, and mm-hmm. I had to get this Long Beach story out because it's interesting. People are interested in that. I wonder if the city of Long Beach, I guess they bought that thing at one time. Aren't they still operated, or somebody
else?
Yes,
they're almost going broke. I think they're ready to pass it on. The cost of the upkeep is incredible. So it's kind of a shabby chic ship now. It's not like it used to be. They don't have the money to put behind it. So I don't know how long it's going to be able to be maintained.
But if you want to go get the wits scared out of you, book a night at the Queen Mary.
Yes, especially during the week, it's very inexpensive. The weekends are more expensive to stay there, but yes, it's a scary, scary, thrilling place to be.
Okay, now let's talk about your theories on ghost and supernatural period. You're in that business, so you're not going to say, or you shouldn't, well, I don't believe in ghosts. You obviously believe in them. You've seen them.
I have seen them. I grew up with them.
Yeah, right.
I totally
yeah, but then by the next token, you told me, hey, it's 80% positive probably. At least
well,
your
stuff. Yeah, the stories in Fate are.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're positive.
You're not necessarily afraid, even though you're probably like me. I think I'm a pretty brave guy, but occasionally mm-hmm. I have to admit to myself, well, maybe this is a dangerous situation.
Yeah, once in a while you get kind of a scary, intimidating, threatening situation, but by and large, most of them are positive.
I think that when we talk about all of this, can you recognize somebody that has made something up for you to submit or to against a real live ghost story? Is there a feel?
Pretty much so. Ernest Hemingway had what you call the crap detector.
And okay, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, he could tell if somebody's bullshitting
or telling
the truth or not. And there's three of us that evaluate all the stories that come in for Fate. So we have what we like to think that we have the crap detector, that we can recognize phony stuff when we see it. You know, when
of
you
course.
Read 1,000 articles and 800 of them are legitimate, and there's a couple hundred that are really too far out.
I really regret asking this question, Phyllis, because now everybody in the country will take this as a challenge to see if they can get past your crap detector.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
hey, you might come up with some good stories, you know.
Right. Well, we try to like meditate and be really authentic and care about all the articles that we get. So, yeah, we try to really honor and value all the things that we get.
What did you think about UFOs before you got involved with Fate? Had you thought much about it?
Well, I grew up in North Dakota on a farm. It was a very lonely environment, and we had quite a lot of sightings when I was a very small child. So I grew up thinking that UFOs were like no big deal. That was just part of, I mean, my brothers saw them, my parents saw them. So as a small child, there's a light in the sky. It hovers over our car. It followed us 20, 30 miles on the highway when I was just a little girl before there were satellites or anything sophisticated. Mom and I were on the way home when I was like 6 years old, and we stopped, and there was a light, you know, in the sky. We watched, and zoom, and then it just disappeared. So, like, I never really thought anything that they were, you know,
yeah,
really anything exceptional or
different. You came here with
it's part
to
of
the
my
UFO,
life.
Right?
It's yeah, they were
part
just
of
part
experience.
Of my life.
And you've met a lot of people.
Yes.
Since then, have you changed your minds about UFOs at all? I mean,
no. I definitely think they're around. I mean, I think there are a lot of true believers that could use some more discernment. The definition of a level-headed Norwegian, like we say, is somebody who runs a chewing tobacco out of both sides of their mouth. And you know, mm-hmm. we kind of like to be like level-headed Norwegians. We try to be really careful about not being true believers, but so many people have these experiences that there's got to be something to it.
So, you know, you're watching your baby grow, even though it's 60 years old. I call it your baby because now you're getting into multimedia even
mm-hmm.
more. With
yep.
You have the website, now you have the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like a pretty much of a done deal. And if something falls through, it'll probably still happen because it's pretty close to
right.
fruitation.
Yep, I think it is.
What I'm getting at is the business side of a magazine like Fate is not easy. You have to get mainstream advertisers, and I'm in this business, so I know
mm-hmm.
that's not
mm-hmm.
always easy to do.
No, it's a challenge.
Uh-huh. So how do you see the future of the media dealing with paranormal and UFOs? I think it's growing.
I think it is, too. And we have to be aware that, as some of our speakers at the conference have pointed out this weekend, that very few companies control all the media. So it's really filtered what we're allowed to see and what we're allowed, quote, to believe. And I think these kind of conferences are really important because it shows that there's more out there than what ABC and NBC and, you know.
Right. And I think in the magazine business, it's even more concentrated.
There's, exactly.
You know, you're one of the few people out there that's independent.
That's right. Yep. We've been around almost 60 years, and we still have the same story to tell, and people are still interested in it. So there has to be some validity to it.
Yeah. We're independent, too, as well. I've been waiting for that $60 million buyout.
But, yes. But do you really want it?
Because no, that's,
then they would
that's,
squelch,
that's what I was getting to. What would I do?
Yeah. It squelched all the material, everything that you've done, you know, and worked for, all the money in the world couldn't replace the truth, because then they'd be honor-bound to Murdoch or somebody, and they would put out a lot of disinformation and false information. So
we can assure the audience that, and I think it's pretty close to a huge majority of independent media, whatever's left, they're pretty independent. They're not necessarily
yes.
doing it for the money.
Yes.
Because the big boys have kind of shoved you out or put you over
yep.
the corner.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They've sold themselves out.
And so, in other words, I what I'm saying is, shows like ours, and I don't want to beat my drum right here, but what I'm saying is, you're an independent outlet, so am I. There's just not many left, and I think people ought to pay attention to these independent outlets because we're in danger.
Yep, it's a small voice, but we're a powerful voice of truth.
Oh, and you have a huge subscription rate, and people can find you on the web, and you have lots of hits, so things are doing pretty well for you, I think.
Yes, we're honored to still be here.
And you don't have any ideas of closing the door tomorrow.
No, because
we just talked about all the stuff that you're doing now. So
now we have hopefully another 60 years.
Well, We're all for you, Phyllis Galda. You're doing a great job, and we need more people like you and the media, that's for sure.
Thank you.
You got any closing comments? Not a compliment.
Hey, listen, you're doing a great job, Jerry.
Oh, too. Okay. See, she caught on.
Okay. No, we appreciate your voice in the wilderness, too.
In all seriousness, do you have anything else you'd like to bring out?
Well, we just invite people to contact our website for a sample issue of the magazine, Fate Magazine, F-A-T-E, mag.com, or Fate Magazine, just Google us and check us out.
And we have lots of links to Fate Magazine throughout our website and on this show as well. They've been helping us out and promoting things, and we appreciate their support, and we're glad to support them. Phyllis Galda, it's always a pleasure to see you. And where are you going next? Back to Minneapolis.
I'm going to Roswell this summer in July.
Oh, good. We'll be there.
Yes.
We'll be there. And we're going to be broadcasting from the Civic Center, also from a place called the Cover Up Cafe downtown.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's fun.
We'll see you someplace
later. It'll be 105 degrees, but it'll be fun.
Yeah. And so we look forward to
it. I mean, as cold as it is here, I come down into Eureka Springs for warm weather, and it's colder than Minneapolis. So I'm looking forward to 100 degrees weather in Eureka, in Roswell.
I have a hunch you'll get it even with global warming. This July 4th is always hot everywhere, usually.
You're right.
Yeah, it'll
be fun.
We'll find out. Maybe I better take a couple of jackets along with me, just in case. We have shorts and the whole thing. Remember, you went on down to see Carlsbad Cavern.
Yes, that was a wonderful. I did not get to see the bats do their great escape, but we had a wonderful time in the caverns.
That's one of our first interviews, if not our first.
Okay, it's very special energy when you go into the caves.
Thank you very much, Phyllis Galda. This is Jerry Pippin. Our on location producer is Roberta Scott, and our technical editor is James Wortley. Until next time, cheers. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment. Fate. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown.